Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast, designed for insurance professionals and leaders seeking inspiration, bold ideas, and actionable strategies. Our guests are remarkable individuals from various insurance industry sectors, and our host, Nina Shepherd, has been an insurance leader for over three decades. Together, we explore what it truly means to be a bold and impactful leader and find personal fulfillment in the ever-evolving insurance world. New episodes are released bi-weekly on Thursdays. Be sure to follow the podcast on your platform of choice to receive alerts when new episodes drop. Bold leaders, frank dialogue, actionable strategies. Welcome to the Insurance Leaders Lab. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome an exceptional George Grishin to the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. George is the owner and president of the Oakshott Insurance Group, the Lloyd's of London broker that specializes in marine and aviation and operates in 20 countries. George himself celebrated 40 years in insurance in 2024. George is also the author of 15 books on insurance, reinsurance, and insurance law. His book on marine hull and P&I was probably the first book on that topic written in plain language. Several generations of Russian-speaking marine professionals in many countries have studied the book as their first marine insurance manual. His recent books are on culture and history of Spain. So does that indicate a slight shift in your interest, George? We'll talk about that later. George is a truly international guy. He shares his time between homes in London and Spain while traveling the world to meet clients and deliver insurance seminars. As we were scheduling a meeting for this recording, I had a chance to look at George's schedule, and it included trips to Laos, Vietnam, Kazakhstan, Istanbul, and Turkmenistan in just the next 2 months. So, George, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Hi, Nina. Very nice hearing from you. And it's a great start of an interesting thing that you've done. Yeah, absolutely. Let's start.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the introduction.
That was just an intro. Now we will do the deep dive into what's really have been happening with you in all these 40 years of you being in insurance. So let's start from the very beginning, if we could. How did the insurance journey start for you?
Well, that was too long ago. And I have to stress that when you're asking, who am I? I'm a British Russian, which is quite a strange thing, especially with the day-to-day politics today. But what happened was that I'm 62, and actually I lived the bigger part of my life in London and in Western Europe. So it's quite strange when I'm saying, my insurance career started in Moscow, in Soviet Union, which was then the country in 1984.
Well, they say there is a woman behind any successful man. In my case, it's not true, because my beloved wife, I call her Katya, Katerina, Lala, is not behind me. She stands right next to me, being my equal partner in work and in life. We met in June 2000, 25 years ago. It was in Prague at an international insurance conference. And ever since then, Lala was my main business partner. Of course, together with Barry and Samson, about whom we'll be speaking later. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Katya. Thank you, Samson, for everything. First of all, Katya. And what is important? Katya is Belarusian by origin. I'm Russian. When we met in Prague, we actually started living in Kyiv, in Ukraine, in 2001. And this combination of three Slavonic nations, Russian, Belarusian, Ukrainian, together with my half-British roots, had formed my views on the life during the last quarter of the century. Okay, now back to my beginnings in insurance.
I was lucky to get into marine, specifically P&I, what's ship owner's liability, back in 1984. And so my career started then, in 1984, with P&I. And P&I is absolutely international. So I'm still working with two or three people whom I got to know in 1985. All right. They live in London. Yeah. They live in Odessa. They live elsewhere. But yes, the insurance is all about people. But it's all about ships as well. You know that the first and the most important law on insurance is called Marine Insurance Act 1906. And that, of course, comes from England. And we're using it in all types of insurances, cargo, hull, but also, you know, aviation, space, and even motor. So for me, I was quite lucky that, you know, from the very first step after graduation from a university where I was studying international economics, I got into marine insurance. And I'm still working there 40 years after. But I've done all other types of insurances, of course.
You were one of those rare lucky people who studied for insurance.
And university, I never studied insurance.
Oh, you
I was studying international banking, currency, rates of exchange. But the moment I came to marine insurance, I just started reading, like carriage of goods by sea, by Tetley. So all the different bits and pieces which speak about international law, international private law to start with, international insurance and so forth. Then I did PhD, and PhD was actually about insurance companies finance, including mutuals, because I was always working with mutual insurance systems. And then actually I got into CI, which is a great institution based in London, but also worldwide, Chartered Insurance Institute. I was one of the first, probably, the Eastern Europeans to become associate of Chartered Insurance Institute.
Wonderful.
Back in 1992. But that helped me a lot because there I was studying more non-marine life pensions, things like that.
Okay.
So really it was like continuous education after graduation and after I started practical work.
Okay. So it's all started with the right education.
Yes.
Then you found your way into marine insurance, and then there was a black ball sea, right?
What happened was that in spite of us living in the Soviet Union, like, you know, the Iron Curtain, we were working very much in the international sphere. So every day, on a daily basis, and back in 1980s, I was speaking with or writing to my English colleagues in London, but also P&I correspondents worldwide. So then the insurance company I was working for, called Ingostrak, based in Moscow, at that time they had three or four affiliates around the world, including a company in London, a company in Hamburg, and so forth. The company in London was called Black Sea and Baltic Insurance, and that was one of the small composites, i.e. they were doing life, they were doing marine, they were doing non-marine.
Okay.
And so the Ingostrak was sending people for 3, 4, 5 years to work in Black Sea and Baltic, you know, to improve their understanding of insurance and so forth. And I was sent there in 1991, so it was like 34 years ago. And there I was the director in charge of all claims and also marine underwriting. And all claims meant actually householders, meant life, motor, and so forth. So I had an absolutely fantastic technical training for 2.5 years when I was on Black Sea and Baltic, or Black Baltic, it was called. And then I left the company and set up my own little company called Oakshott Insurance in 1993. And here it is, 31 years after, working in 20 countries at least. And I think that, of course, this training, which I got both in London and in Moscow, helped me a lot.
That's a fantastic story, how you can start the business. Mm. How did it feel? Many people nowadays are thinking about starting their own.
Yeah, it felt awful because I borrowed some money from some other brokers. The brokers were Russian guys, very much like me, based in London, top professionals in shipping. And they said, okay, George, we are shipping brokers. Why don't you start your own company being an insurance broker? And we'll be giving you some money to start with, and then some risks to insure. They never gave me any interesting risks. I was giving money enough for like 2 or 3 months to survive. So I had to find the clients. I had already a family with 2 children. I was living in my old home, but with a huge mortgage in London, of course. So I needed to move very quickly. And that's exactly what I started doing, looking for clients worldwide. My first two clients came from Latvia and Lithuania. Saying that Latvians and Lithuanians opted for employing a Russian origin, British passport insurance broker. Nowadays, it's quite strange. But in 1993, it was normal. There were no problems for Latvians and Lithuanians working with British Russian.
Well, let me say something here, because that was also the time when we met, and I lived in Latvia and was doing insurance as well. That was a beginning for me.
You were one of the first brokers. Come on, in the whole Baltics.
I have to say that it wasn't the nationality why they chose you. Right.
Yeah.
They chose you for the knowledge. You were one of the first people who were translating the marine insurance knowledge from the international level to us, then local people and local shipping community as well, by doing the seminars, by writing your books, doing all those things that no one else was doing. So it's nothing to do with the fact that you were Russian. It was everything to do with the fact that you were such a unique personality with a very specific approach, and you brought us the knowledge that everyone needed at that point. Mm.
That's right. Okay, I wanted to put it off till later, but when you told me to get ready for the talk, I came up with a super formula, which sounds RMSWT. What's that? I asked ChatGPT to decipher it, and it came with rainy mornings spread warm thoughts.
Okay, so that was ChatGPT.
But the formula I came up with myself, how to remember it, that was helpful.
Yeah.
So that was reading, meeting, speaking, writing, teaching. And I call it George Grishin's winning formula.
Yeah.
Because before you start speaking to potential clients or existing clients, you have to read a lot, okay? And the first 2, 3, 4 years in insurance, I was reading everything. Like structure of the ship, world shipping, international private law, international private marine law, maritime law, and so forth. So reading is important. Then you have meeting people already being prepared, speaking to people. Then after the meeting, writing to people. And the most important is teaching. So when you understand you've got a client or a potential client, we don't say client, a partner, an assured or reassured, not only you have to speak to them, to write to them, but you have to teach them. Not the ABCs of insurance or reinsurance, but something more important. I'm having a seminar in Haiphong in Vietnam in 2 weeks' time. I'll be speaking there for about an hour. And I won't be speaking about what's hull, what's P&I, what's cargo insurance. Of course, I'll be using my problems. Again, the formula was RMSWT. It's about reading, meeting, speaking, writing, and then teaching.
Yeah. Okay. This is a great formula. And it's apparently is working for you very well, because you've been now a successful entrepreneur for over 30 years. And I think everyone on the Eastern European terrain knows who George Grishin is in marine insurance, right? That would be fair to say. But now you are saying you also are expanding to the South Asia. Is that, that something that you're doing?
Yeah, well, not only, but it so happened that we merged with another company, took them over, and they were very much active in Dubai and Vietnam, and also developing the operations in India and Bangladesh. And myself, personally, I was doing a lot on the non-marine side in Central Asia, countries like Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. So to a certain extent, these two movements coincided. And yes, the next 2 months, for instance, I'm spending in Vietnam, in Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. And there I am combining my knowledge of marine and non-marine insurance, because somebody said to me 30 years ago, George, you are, at that time I was, working only in marine. But from the point of insurance, come on, a ship is only a big car. So marine insurance is very much the same as motor insurance. Why don't you study this? I didn't like motor insurance, but I started doing non-marine property insurance, corporate, P&C altogether.
In 2000, just when I was thinking about venturing into non-marine, I met my Katya, my Lalia. Twice lucky, because she worked for an English insurance broker doing retail, including non-marine property and liability. Or as you say, P&C in American insurance speak. Lalia then joined Oakshott, first in Kiev and later in London. Our union made Oakshott's expansion into the non-marine world much smoother.
So I started with property in oil and gas sector, then moved over to construction.
And of course, it makes sense because you are in London, so you are dealing with insurance of large risks and probably reinsurance. Is that something?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I'm not very much a treaty reinsurance person, although before the war, we used to have for 20 years an office in Kiev. And that office was very much treaty reinsurance. On the other hand, the facultative reinsurance is nothing else as direct reinsurance. So now we work in 15 countries. Somewhere we work directly. Somewhere we have to go via local insurance companies because that's the legislation. Mm-hmm. For instance, in Nigeria, we're quite active in Nigeria, but our main partners there are reinsurance company called Africa Re. So we're doing not even reinsurance, but retrocession. Okay. And that's all on a facultative basis. Very much the same in Dubai, where we're getting clients from our insurance companies, partners, and very much the same in Vietnam, in Uzbekistan, and Kazakhstan, where insurance companies are bringing us risks. And that was the same in Ukraine, but unfortunately, we had to cease our operations there 2 years ago. Well, we're thinking of coming back to this country because I love Ukraine and I hope that we'll be able to do. Well, we have direct clients there still in Odessa, which is the largest port. And I'm speaking with people in Odessa on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, we all believe that it will change soon.
We hope so.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, all of these things, marine, construction, gas and oil, direct insurance, reinsurance, treaties, have become possible for you probably also because you became a Lloyd's of London broker at some point.
Yeah,
How did that happen?
That wasn't easy, but I set up an insurance agent in 1993. By 1996, I became the company, Oakshott, became a registered insurance broker, which was a thing in London at that time, 1996. And then somewhere in the middle of 2000s, we started understanding that one of the most, let's say, competitive markets is Lloyd's. And we were doing a lot on the hull and cargo side. And then also actually starting our efforts in oil and gas industry. And we needed direct access to Lloyd's underwriters. And so, yes, that was quite an effort. I have to stress that lots of the things which Oakshott achieved is due to my partners. And I have two gentlemen with whom I've been working since 1995, for 30 years this year, Barry Pierce and Samson Akande. Both, they had been working in insurance prior to me meeting them in 1995. I decided that Oakshott would employ them. And since then, we've been partners. They're co-shareholders of Oakshott Insurance Group. And Barry was probably the main person to actually push our Lloyd's broking status because you had to speak and you had to persuade lots of people. And really sort of like
issues and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, yes, and my theoretical and my writing side and Barry's practical knowledge of the insurance market, they helped us to become a Lloyd's broker. And then, of course, it helped us a lot in different countries. We now work from Guyana to Vietnam, and everywhere we come over and we say we're Lloyd's of London broker, and of course it helps.
Yeah, and that's helping. Mm. Awesome. So you have, and I actually had a pleasure and honor to meet both of your partners, Samson and Barry. You've been a team for almost 30 years.
Mm.
If you look into that in retrospective, what have you learned about yourself and life through working as a team?
Wow. I have to send you an article which we wrote with two universities in the USA some 8 years ago, which was called like Multicultural Operations and Lessons from This.
Oh, wow.
It was all about, I'll send it over to you. Although it's, as I'm saying, it's about 8 or 10 years old, but there was a lady who was studying multiculturalism. And she spoke with our offices in Almaty and Kyiv and Moscow, which we had at that time 10 years ago. And that was quite interesting because it was really a combination of Eastern European and Western European knowledge and practice and everything.
Yeah.
And you're
quite unique in that sense because there's not many teams that have that combined expertise and combined cultures, especially working for so many years together. If you are to give some advice here to people who are forming or working on creating similar teams, what would be your number one thing that you
That's using the multicultural, multinational approach. Because we have Samson, his family comes from Nigeria. Barry is completely a Cockney. Myself, Russian, British. My wife comes from Belarusia. We lived in Ukraine, and I can speak some Ukrainian. I can understand some Ukrainian. Believe me, it's not identical to the Russian language. And very much the same, we went to, started working in Vietnam 2 years ago. The first thing I did two or three seminars in Haiphong, in Hanoi, in Ho Chi Minh. And Katerina, my wife, translated the slides into Vietnamese. And that was quite interesting. So, yes, absolutely. And the seminar I'm having in 2 weeks' time in Haiphong, very much the same. I'll write in English and we'll use ChatGPT to translate it into Vietnamese. So, yes, and that's not only about language. You have to understand that the attitudes towards life are different. For instance, in the Far East, they use insurance much more because they understand that they have to invest in their own future. And investing in your own future means insuring different bits and pieces, not only households and cars, but also doing your pensions. That's why when you look at the structures of insurance markets in the Far East, life insurance and pension insurance takes much more share than somewhere in the Western Europe and Eastern Europe as well. Yeah. So you have to look into all of this. Yes, languages are important because when we fly to Lagos with Samson, we start speaking English. And then, of course, they all switch into Yoruba, which is the local language in Lagos. And, of course, that helps. I just sit there and listen to the wonderful sounds of Yoruba language, of which I don't know a single word.
Wow.
That helps.
Wow. Well, George, you speak several languages yourself. Of course, you speak Russian because that's your native language. And then your English, I believe, is close to being perfect as well. What other languages you speak?
No, it's funny because in Moscow, they were paying in Soviet times for knowing foreign languages. And I had quite an early family. My first daughter, I have four daughters, but my first daughter was born when I was 23. I needed money. So I was doing French and German. they were only paying for two languages, English, for instance, and French. But my French was very, very poor. So I decided to learn German not to lose another 10% on my salary if, for instance, I wouldn't pass the French exam. And then it so happened that my parents in Soviet times lived in Cuba for 3 years. So I learned some Spanish. And then I met a girl, my wife, Katerina, whom you know. And she is and was a Spanish teacher and Italian interpreter. So gradually we moved over to live in Spain, where I use my Spanish and her Spanish, of course. Then we lived for a year in Bologna. In Italy, using her Italian, and our fourth daughter picked it up immediately. I was speaking a bit of Italian. So yes, you need to know all these languages. But on the other hand, it's a bit of a shame that in international insurance, you only need English. So it's really more about cultures, the cultural thing. For instance, you have to speak about weather in England. Prior to speaking about your insurance sleep, and very much the same, you have to speak about Chinese New Year in Vietnam. When I come over to Ho Chi Minh in 10 days' time, of course, we start speaking about the preparations for the Chinese New Year. And this is the year of the serpent, of the snake. So you have to know a little bit about the snake and what it's bringing to us.
It's always important, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You are very much into the different cultures. Tell me a little bit about those books that you're writing.
I think it all started with me being an internal interpreter because in Russia, in Ukraine, when I was based in Moscow in Soviet times, we were working with British guys all the time. And I was always translating. And then not only was I translating seminars, I started doing my own seminars. I introduced things like road hauliers' liability into the Soviet Union, terminal operators' liability, freight forwarders' liability. And translating all of this, I started doing my own speeches, my lectures. And then I decided to put this all down. So I did, 3 big books and then lots of small ones. On insurance.
And I just want to interrupt you here. When you're saying big books, I don't think our listeners realize what the big book mean from that perspective. So your first one was what, 500 pages?
500 pages on how to die.
Yeah. And then the third one was like, what, 1,300 pages?
The second one was 1,300 pages. It was a reinsurance and legal practice of insurance altogether. And the third one was 900 pages, 2 volumes as well. That was cargo insurance, but also carrier's liability insurance, war risks, credit risks, a little bit of everything which is related to international trade.
George, I just want to say thank you from everyone on the post-Soviet territory, because I truly believe that there are generations of insurance professionals who have learned from your books what the insurance is and how to do insurance. That's for sure.
Thanks very much. But although my books were in Russian, of course, already 10 years ago, I started doing seminars in English. And that's why I'm saying I was doing seminars in Nigeria, in Vietnam, in Cambodia. I'm now flying to Laos. I'll be doing a small seminar there. And that was all in English, of course. But I was using the knowledge, which again, I wrote the books in Russian, but the basis was always English practice.
Of course.
Was Marine Insurance Act 1906, P&I rules, ITC, Institute Time Clauses, Hulls from London, Institute Cargo Clauses from London, and so forth.
And that's exactly what was so valuable, because you were translating the practice of marine law into making it more applicable and understandable for the Russian-speaking professionals. That was very important.
It was, and on the other hand, I spoke about one formula, which was 5 letters, and the other formula is just a rolling stone, because I'm feeling that when I'm sitting somewhere in one place for like 2-3 months, I'm feeling I'm losing something. So I have to move all the time. Moving doesn't really mean just moving for its own. It means meeting my clients, my existing partners everywhere, but also meeting new people. And when I started meeting new people, I started, studying their cultures. Also, my wife, my mother-in-law, and my four daughters, they all studied art. So there isn't a single art museum in Western Europe that I haven't visited. Wow. Very much the same. I'm coming to Kazakhstan, to Vietnam, or Nigeria. I'm seeing an art gallery or a art museum. I just recently discovered in Almaty, one of the best art museums in former Soviet Union, probably in the whole of Asia. I've been visiting Almaty for 25 years and never realized that they had such a nice thing.
I really appreciate you also sharing that with a wider audience, because I follow you on Facebook, and those, those pictures that you post there on the different museums, that's always fantastic.
That's okay. Yeah, but as I say, it helps a lot, because, for instance, wherever I was working, first Moscow, then St. Petersburg, where my actual client was based during Soviet times, London, Kiev, Bologna, Valencia. I was always acting as a guide, okay? So I was having my partners, my clients coming over. So I was taking them around. I visited the Tower of London, 25 times. I visited Kremlin of Moscow 30 times. I visited Lavra in Kiev 15 times. And then I started writing books, just trying to put down my impressions. Yeah. So my latest books are about Spain. I've been doing a series of books that I've done together with my wife, actually, 4 books so far. The series is called Denia Divina, Valencia, Valiosa, Valiente, y España Esplendida. So I'm looking at Spain as a country at 3 levels. As a country, Valencia being Kingdom of Valencia, fantastic town of Valencia, which is the same as Barcelona, but less known. And then little Denia, which is 2,500 years old, where we've lived for 12, 13 years and been visiting for 25 years. So I started, reading the lecture on history and writing. So the book on Denia we published in 4 languages, German, Russian, English, and Spanish, of course. And now that's the first book I've written together with my wife, Katerina. And it is published in paper in English called Viva Valencia. We've done it in Russian. We've done it in Ukrainian. That's the first time I did a book in Ukrainian. Of course, somebody else translated it into Ukrainian. And we're doing it as a charity project for Ukrainians who moved over from Ukraine, of course, to Valencia, for them to get to know the cities they live in. And we distribute it free of charge. And now we're doing the translation into English, into German. Our idea is always to help people who are moving between countries to get to know the country they start living better, quicker. And for myself, it's, of course, England and Spain. Spain being quite interesting. And so I'm doing now books on Spain.
That's awesome. Okay. I haven't done a lot of traveling in Spain.
Come over.
Probably on my next step list.
please come over. But especially Valencia is interesting because that was a combination of 3 cultures, the Christian, the Muslim, and the Jewish cultures. Especially Toledo is the city of 3 cultures, but Valencia very much the same. And that's really interesting. And,
exciting.
Okay.
So, anyway. George, mm-hmm. We are recording this conversation at the beginning of 2025.
Yes.
How do you feel about this new year?
Strange numbers. Yeah, strange numbers. We in insurance have to be mathematicians. And they're saying that if you add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, altogether, numbers from 1 to 9 make 45. 45 square is 2025.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So that's a very mathematical year for us. People are working with numbers. Well, should be our lucky year because that's a numbers year. But on the other hand, it's like a warning to us that insurance is not about numbers. Insurance is all about people. We all hope for the eternal peace worldwide And of course, for us, the new year should be bringing, first of all, peace between Russia and Ukraine, peace between in the Middle East. But also, I traveled probably too much, and I can feel that those wars in Europe, they're not that important somewhere in the middle of Vietnam or somewhere in the smaller parts of Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan. People live their normal lives, and that's why I'm quite happy to come over to any country and start speaking insurance, because in one country I can speak English, in another I can speak Russian, but insurance is always about insurance. And it's a good thing that insurance brings you peace, and that means peace of mind.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, wars are awful, and the fact that there is a war between the countries I love most, Ukraine and Russia, is a personal tragedy for me. But on the other hand, I'm absolutely happy. I'm feeling lucky that I work in insurance where politics is not that important, because ships are always ships. Well, life is going on, and insurance helps to reestablish faith between people. And I'm not talking about Europe only, because I'm saying it's even Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan don't have the best relationship, whilst I'm trying to develop reinsurance locally between Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan countries. They're getting better. But anyway, I'll be reading a lecture in 2 months' time in Turkmenistan, one of the most closed countries in the world. For me, whether I'm using my Russian or my British passport, getting into Turkmenistan is not easy. But we've been working there for 7 years, and we're trying to teach them the international ways, which some of them understand, some of them don't. So that's, you know, what we're trying to develop.
Yeah. Well, I love how you put that insurance actually brings everyone peace of mind. That's a good reminder of why we are in insurance in the first place. And that is a fantastic profession. Our listeners are insurance professionals and leaders who are looking for ideas and inspiration. And if you would be in front of them, as you often are in your seminars, what would be your word of inspiration to them for 2025?
Well, insurance is all about, you know, premiums and losses. It's all about incomes and expenditure. And I was quite lucky in the fact that I started working in mutual insurance, which is much more, let's say, cooperative, where there are no insureds and insurers. Technically, every member of a mutual insurance company is also the owner.
Right.
And there, when I was doing my PhD like 30, 35 years ago, I was writing about it and saying that every type of insurance, after all, has some kind of mutuality. If, for instance, like hull, marine hull, we have the 100% technical result over the last 20 years, okay? Nobody earns anything. And that actually shows that insurance is about spreading somebody's risks, somebody's losses all over onto the general public. And we have to understand that we are bringing people this particular redistribution of losses. We are, as I said, we're bringing them peace of mind.
Right.
And we have to understand that we're bringing it to people. Even when we're working in the corporate side, yes, we work business to business, but after all, any business is lots of people. So if we speak with our clients, with our potential clients, with our partners, as if they were our brothers or partners in any business, that will help a lot. Yes, it is important in marine, but not only in marine, you know. And that's why my formula, RMSWT, reading, meeting, speaking, writing, teaching. We have to teach our clients. We have to teach our partners. We have to explain them that not only we're taking their money, we have to explain them where their money go, that their money is used for helping another guy, another ship owner, another owner of an oil pipeline, another owner of a car, that insurance is a huge redistribution mechanism which helps people at large.
Yeah.
So our social function of insurance is absolutely enormous, and I'm very glad that I'm part of it. That, yes, my clients know perfectly well that they can wake me up in the middle of the night, especially usually it is night from Saturday on to Sunday, and tell me, George, we need help in Mogadishu, or we need help in Australia, or we need a lawyer tomorrow in Hong Kong, which happened lots of times. And yes, I'll be helping them, because that's what we are supposed to do. We are helping people. Helping financially, but helping with advice. And so the important thing is that whatever industry you're working in, you have to know the actual industry. Insurance can never be detached from real life. If I'm working in shipping, I have to understand what's a container vessel, what's a tanker. Okay. If I'm working in cargo insurance, I have to understand what's CIF, FOB. If I do constructors all risks, I have to understand what is delay in startup. I have to understand all these things. So think about inspiration. First, the fact that we are helping people. But second, we are helping people in their industries. Okay? If we all are specialists in the particular industries, even in reinsurance, then we can help people better, more efficiently.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't know how everyone else, but I'm inspired.
Thank you very much,
Nina. I really love our conversation. George, thank you so much for the gift of this conversation today, mm-hmm. and for sharing your wisdom of a truly international broker and person you are. Thank you, and I wish you a wonderful and amazing 2020.
Same to you. Same to you, Nina. And I want now to say the words of gratitude. First of all, to my wife, Katya, Lalia, Katharina. Of course, to my colleagues, Byron and Samson. To my colleagues, Alan and Maxim. And to all of my colleagues and partners worldwide who turned Oakshot's story into a tale of success. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insurance Leaders Lab podcast. If you like what you've heard, please like it and leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. If there is anyone else in your circle who can benefit from listening, please share this link with them. Remember, this is a podcast for you, and your opinion matters to me. So if there is any topic you'd like to bring up, please send me a note to nina@ninashepherd.com. I'll see you back in 2 weeks on Thursday morning. Bye for now.